Okay. This is Jim Baldwin again. I've got the other. So why did the NASA people perceive the journal as an organization? Am I saying that right?
Yes, it was an organization of people to put out a journal. But we were thinking of it in, many of us, we were thinking of it in terms of having more input into the journal as to how it should operate and what it should do. And over the years that became very clear that it wasn't. But in the process of creating this journal, regional editors were chosen throughout the country, whose task was really to sell the journal in the state to the various two-year college people. And there were regular meetings scheduled of these delegates, these regional representatives, in effect, where they would come to Nassau and they would discuss issues dealing with the Matter Journal and how to further it. And it was a journal, as a name had actually been written on it, a two-year college journal by two-year college people for two-year college people. So there was a great deal of interest in the two-year college issue at Nassau. And that was shared elsewhere because of the fact that it didn't spread, this journal. And as more people started coming in, there was a greater discussion about what the various states are doing. New York State had formed an organization, Florida had started its organization, Pennsylvania, and people were starting to go back and forth between the states. Early on, I remember that I took a trip to Pennsylvania to go and represent the Matic Journal at a Pennsylvania meeting.
What year are we in? About late 60s?
Late 60s, early 70s. Probably the early 70s. And it was a little meeting in Pennsylvania at a school. But they had about 50 or 60 people attend, which was good. Right, good. And they had a number of speakers. And generally there was a feeling for a need for organizations for two-year college people.
Why? What were those needs?
There seemed to be a lack of recognition of the two-year college community by the established organizations. The Math Association of America and National Council of Teachers of Math. The two-year college people were also confused as to which organization they really should belong to. And that created a great diversity in the state of Pennsylvania, for example. One side of the state was going with MAA, the other side of the state was going with NCTM.
Because the community college person did not understand themselves to begin with?
That's right. I don't know for sure, but that's what I would perceive to be.
Your opinion?
My opinion is they didn't have their identity. Right? The identity of the two-year college person was not satisfied. And the reason for that is, seems to be that the people who came to teach in the two-year colleges came from the high schools, or else maybe they dropped down from the colleges, but more likely they came from the high schools. So in some cases they were looking back to the NCTM for their direction, and in other cases they were trying to say, well, I'm in college, so let's look at MAA. So many of the early regional editors were people involved with the Matic Journal, were people who later got involved with AMATIC as well. In 72 or 73 or so, Phil Scheifetz suggested that we have a meeting in New York. And there were starting to be regional meetings, that is, Ms. Matic would invite people from Pennsylvania to come up to the meeting, their meeting. Massachusetts would do the same, invite New Yorkers. It wasn't done to a great extent, but it was starting to do that. and we had all these regional editors coming in. So it was thought that maybe there should be an attempt at a national meeting in New York City.
Can I ask you to back up? Ms. Maddock is one of the older state organizations. Were you there in the beginning of Ms. Maddock?
No. But my chairman was. And my chairman, it's not the same chairman I have now, but my chairman was very active. He had a great vision. And he encouraged people to become involved. I'm always amazed now, looking back, the way he made up the department. He brought in some very experienced people who were maybe 10 years from retirement, but he recruited them from Manhattan College and Fordham University. And he brought in a core of high school teachers, which he was at one time as well. And then he brought in a flock of young kids. I happened to be one of those young kids. And many of us started in the math lab and then worked our way through, doing a year of service there. So it was a great training ground. But his whole perception of what a teacher was a very broad perception. That it didn't involve just going in the classroom and teaching, but rather it involved getting active. And that was further encouraged by the fact that for our promotions, which we had to apply for, we had to be active in various things, on campus as well as off campus in organizations. And schooling. So there was a great push there to become active. Yes. So where should I go from here?
Well, no. So as a new faculty member, you were encouraged to attend state meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And was this generally Ms. Maddock, or did you also go to MAA and the...
Yeah, I did go to some earlier MAA meetings, and they were, their topics of discussions were always more mathematical research oriented, mathematics side, which I had no interest in, given the type of students I was dealing with.
What were your interests?
My interest was to try to learn the curriculum as best as I could, which was the OOE curriculum. And I say that because even though you go through all these years of schooling, you only learn it through teaching. So I was...
You mean learning the mathematics, or learning what should be in intermediate algebra?
What you should teach in the classroom, the curriculum for the current classroom, and also learning a little bit of the mathematics. I was learning a lot of the mathematics.
And then stop for minute. Did you go to state NCTM meeting?
No. Regional NCTMs or states.
Mm-hmm.
No, I wasn't really too much aware of them.
I need to ask this question, but perhaps we've covered it. Can you speak to the manner to which other organizations met the needs of the two-year college math teacher before 1975? Is there anything else you want to add?
Well, just in terms of their conferences, their sessions that they offered did not speak to the type of population or the students we were dealing with, nor our curriculum. They tended to be more university oriented and dealing with our university concerns and level courses. It's also always difficult getting involved with the organizations on a committee or organizational level. They tended to go with the old buddy system, and many people in the two-year college system was not in the old buddy system because of where they came from.
Well, how do you think the two-year college mathematics professor was perceived by the four-year college and then also by the high school teachers?
By the four-year teacher, if I think they were perceived as high school teachers, and as the high school teachers, I'm not sure what their perceptions were as to what two-year college teachers were or what they did.
Was it your feeling that the four-year college people understood what was going on in the community college in general?
No.
And I think I asked whether they understood the community college in general, and then specifically the community college math courses.
No. Even at that time, in the community colleges, there were a number of courses at the developmental level. Arithmetic, elementary algebra. And at the university level, they generally were a toy. They were perceived to be high school courses. So there was very little discussion of those. The issues related to arithmetic and elementary algebra at an MAA session. So I think the four-year people had a great deal of difficulty trying to figure out what the two-year college person was and where they fed in.
Do you think that perception is different now?
It's somewhat better now.
Better in what way?
There is a somewhat greater perception of the role that two-year college people play in the whole scheme of higher education, both by university people as well as the high school teachers. They see that that the problems of remediation is not just in the two-year college any longer, but it's in the university, and they're concerned about that, and they're interested in getting two-year college people involved with that, and they have over the years.
Do they see the two-year college math professor as an equal?
Equal in terms of what?
As a colleague, professionally, as a professor of mathematics courses?
I would think so, yes, in the metropolitan area. I can't speak for any other area. But I think that's generally the case.
Were there any other forums for the two-year college math teacher before 1975, other than MAA or NCTM? And the state organizations you've alluded to, are there other things?
Journal. I don't know how far back the American Association of the Two-Year Colleges goes, but that wasn't discipline-oriented.
It was just a generalist outfit that did a lot of philosophical stuff. I remember them in the early 60s.
Yeah.
In your opinion, what were the forces that led to the formation of AMATIC in 1974, or to having that meeting in 1974? What were the forces that caused it?
An interest to discuss issues pertinent to the two-year college curriculum, such as remediation? An interest in hearing from other states as to what they're doing? Because that's what we realized when bringing the delegates in, that it was fascinating to hear what other states were doing and other schools were doing. So there was an interest in creating that dialogue and an avenue for that dialogue to occur.
Whose idea was
it? I think the principal idea was Phil Scheifer's. And he was the... Frank and George asked him to set it up. And he worked with the Numismatic Organization to do that. And that's where Alan Washington came in too. Alan Washington was in the New York organization. And they needed some deposits or a hotel or whatever, and he contributed money for the, made a loan for the money for the initial hotel. So, but Phil had the perception to, and the foresight to think that this could run, and he had a good idea of how to make it run. The meeting, New York meeting. And he went about doing it.
Did his idea come from himself or from input along the way from lots of people?
Probably input from lots of people.
Through the
getting
journal.
Together, right, and discussing things. And
was there some particular event that caused this in 74?
I can't recall of any one event.
And can you then tell me about the issues that were discussed in 74? Talk about the business meeting or any of the meetings that you happen to be in.
There was a number of meetings on remediation, and there was a developmental meeting. And I had our group to set up a developmental committee to discuss the issues. And I had just completed a New York State survey of New York State two-year colleges dealing with their remediation.
What kinds of questions?
As to which department ran the developmental math, what were the courses, what did they call remediation. The term I was using was remedial math program, so RMP. It was sent out to all NISMAC members, at least the schools of all NISMAC. And I had a fairly good response. I had a very good response from it. And I worked it as part of my doctoral studies. It wasn't my dissertation, but just along the way.
Do you have that document somewhere?
Yes, at least. At least I have the results of it someplace, I believe. But since I was involved with that and thinking in terms of that, I was doing that in terms of, for NASA, I wanted to find out what everybody else was doing so as to try to pick the best and work with the best. But since I was involved with just doing that, there was discussion about trying to, what they should do in this developmental committee, and I sort of came to the consensus that maybe we should find out what everyone is doing. So there was a creation of a subcommittee of this group to do a questionnaire, a national questionnaire, to as many schools as possible. And I got to be chair of that committee to run it. And I based number of the questions on my own New York State survey. So there was a lot of discussion about developmental math. Even, I'm using the term developmental math, but at that time we were also calling it remedial mathematics. So there was even a discussion as to what we should call this thing. And that discussion lasted a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour or so.
Was it clear what content was in this at all? This thing?
Different people had different perceptions of that as well, and that's what we wanted to try to clarify and to come to an agreement on as to what was the actual, what you would call developmental math or remedial math, and what are the areas of the curriculum that should be called math. In the business meetings, there was no formal business meetings to an extent because there was no organization. But Herb Gross gave the keynote. And Herb is a rebel rouser. So he said a number of things that got a lot of people excited.
Can you recall what those would be?
No.
Okay.
He didn't take his shoes off and bang on the podium, though. But he spoke for a number of times throughout that conference. And it got a number of people excited. And there was a desire to form an organization. And at some meeting, some final meeting, it was to try to decide to go ahead with this and set up a next meeting when we had the people there. And that was agreed upon to take place in Chicago. And Herb Gross was asked to act as the overseer of it, maybe the first president, even though there was no organization. And Sister Clarice to act in her support. And Bill Dresden was asked to run the conference with Bill's support.
What about this Charter 22? This was a meeting of these 22 people?
I don't know how many people were involved with that. And I don't know whether I was involved with that or not, but I know I've heard talk of that. They threw 22 on the board. The chartered members, they gave out chartered membership to the organization for about a 2-year period. And maybe there's 200 or so chartered members or something like that. I don't know exactly what Joe would know.
Maybe if that information's in those boxes.
Yes, those boxes.
That's the kind of thing that's there, perhaps?
There was probably a report at each main as to the number of chartered members in the early minutes. So the initial structure was really just concerned with the president and the support person and secretary. Well, they didn't talk about a secretary at that point, but later on they did. So to get Chicago going, Bill did get support from the Illinois group. Bill Dresden, and he relied heavily on Phil, as he has said. And various mailings went out through Nassau, and various publicity went out through Nassau. Phone calls went out from Nassau.
So there's still a lot of activity there.
What roles have you played in AMATIC since the developmental education committee?
Well, I was on an issue committee, and we developed a survey and committee. We did the survey. We wrote the report of the survey. I then got it printed in the ERIC file.
I think I've seen it.
And got it printed in the Journal of Two-Year College Research or something like that. That was down in Maryland. Got various things printed in the MATIC Journal. I wanted people to be aware of the results because I thought they were worthwhile. And at the time, there was another survey almost on the same sort of topic being done by Wayne State under an NSF grant. But it wasn't nearly as extensive as the one we did. And I found that very interesting. So it's been quoted various spots in the years past. Now it's, of course, very dated. But so I was involved with that, and then from that I became the developmental chairperson, but I wanted a co-chair. And that's where Amber came on, Amber Steinitz. She was my co-chair for a number of years. And I felt it would be beneficial to the committee if we had some long-range goals as well as short-range goals. So I set up these five-year goals for the committee and made subcommittees and appointed chairpersons and so forth.
Did you have a specific term of office?
At this point, I don't think there was. Until you get tired.
So how long did you do it?
Until I became Northeast Vice President.
Which was when?
Yeah, let's see. Got to backtrack.
You didn't run out of tape.
Might have been 77, 78.
And as Vice President, what were the issues, or what did you spend your time doing?
The Vice President's roles were loosely defined. No one was quite sure what they were supposed to do. And there was this sense, as I had mentioned earlier, that the President, Treasurer, Secretary, and President-elect were the key persons, and they were actually the National Committee. And the Regional Vice Presidents were some annex to that.
Were you the first Northeast Region?
No. Before me was Sam McEnroe. And I don't know if there was one between me and Sam or not. But I was the first one there for a number of years. Sam was only there for a year and so forth. So there wasn't a great refinement as to what the VPs were supposed to be doing. And that's what we started to discuss in the executive board meetings. One thing that I tried to do was to visit the regional meetings that were going on, dealing with two-year college people. So they started to be, whether it was Massachusetts, Connecticut started having one. Rhode Island had a short one for a while in New York. And I was always intrigued about the way mathematics grew in Europe of writing letters back and forth. So I started a little Northeast Moves letter. About 2 pages or so, and started distributing that and asking for input and just throwing out some ideas as to what we might be doing and asking if there's any interest in this, and such as a computer committee, whether there's any interest in a computer committee, and maybe a tech math committee or something along those lines, and getting feedback and then going back to the board and saying, listen, this is what we should do. And what all the VPs tried to do is share what they were doing, so I distributed that to the VPs, the other VPs. And Chris Bolt was one of the VPs from the Southwest. And he generated a list of all the schools, all the two-year schools, by region, and distributed to us. And Chris Bolt was involved with NCTM at the time. Well, he was a regional rep for NCTM, so that was a little hook to NCTM.
What college was he in?
I think it's the same one he still had, which is Eastfield in Texas. He's at the conference here.
It's a name I remember. So, what would you say the accomplishments of your vice presidency were?
Well, I think I helped you define the role of the vice president as being more national, to give the regional input to the national decisions. The introduction of a newsletter, which was then replicated in the other regions, and years later turned into the newsletter centrally located. The creation of the idea of affiliates, and how affiliates should be formed, and what should be the benefits of those affiliates. Affiliate organizations to the organization.
So that was a topic of discussion of the board at,
yes,
at during this time when you were VP?
Yes. And that was a tricky issue because you had a number of organizations, state organizations that were around for a long time, very well established. They had different dues structure. And they wanted to make sure that they were not absorbed in any way by a larger organization. They were very concerned about that.
Why?
They wanted to maintain their identity. And they were afraid that if they went with a national group, they would lose their identity. And they felt also, why should they go with the national group when they're more well established? They had more members than the national group. They had more money than the national group. They were around longer than the national group. So why should they go with the national group? The New York organization specifically had a lot of trouble with it. And that was partially due to what the way the New York conference was run and what happened in New York. And they felt, various members of the New York organization felt hurt over certain things that occurred. And they were the leaders of the organization at the time, and therefore they spoke against trying to join up with NISMATIC. California had a somewhat difficult time. You know, they had a difficult time deciding whether they should be affiliated with it because they were very well established. Florida for a time. So we tried to establish an affiliation policy that made it relatively easy for them to join as an organization, as an affiliate organization. We thought it was worthwhile to have those affiliates. It would lead as a feeder to the organization. We initially set up a dues structure such that if they became members of the affiliate and they then became members of the organization, there was a dues reduction. All the state organizations were also concerned about what happens if the national passes a policy statement that the state doesn't like. And that was an issue at times, that the national wanted to do some things that the state didn't want. I don't recall exactly what it was offhand.
Did you have delegates at this time?
Yes. There were probably starting to be delegates, and the idea of allowing affiliates to have delegates was introduced as another bonus for the affiliates. There was originally one delegate or two delegates per affiliate, regardless of size, and then a size factor was thrown into it. And during the same time, the idea of institutional membership was developed by George Cox. And that was in line with what was occurring in Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania, there was really no individual membership to the Pennsylvania organization, but rather institution membership. The institution paid X dollars to the Pennsylvania organization. And he said, well, if that's the way they do it in Pennsylvania, let's do that here, and we'll get all these colleges to become institutional members. So we worked on a dues structure for that. And that was implemented.
Well, I want to talk about your presidency in a minute, but I want to go back now, because you've
jumped ahead.
No, you haven't jumped ahead. I missed something that I wanted to talk more about. Back at the 74 and the 75 meeting, were there MAA people at those meetings?
Yes, at both meetings.
And how did they feel about what was going on?
In New York, we had a meeting with various MAA representatives, including Wilcox from MAA. And he was the executive director, and still is. And he had a meeting specifically with the Matic Journal. At the time, not only was the Matic Journal in existence, but there was another journal produced by Prindle Reverend Smith. And it was a two-year college journal. And MAA wanted a two-year college journal. They wanted to be able to say that they were servicing their own needs. So this was supposed to be a negotiating meeting with MAA to see whether they could take over the Matic Journal.
And they really wanted to do this?
No. But because of what they saw was occurring here, the idea that all these state organizations were forming and that people were coming to this conference and so forth, they felt a little threatened, I think. But their attitude was, I'm big brother, I'm big. You should just give that to us and forget it, just walk away, because I can take care of you. It was not a very pleasant meeting. There were probably 15, 20 people in the room talking to them. And George Miller and Frank Avenosa were there. They were the editors of the journal. And it was a take it or leave it, and it was, well, gee, what are you guys doing? We can service your needs. And
MAA was saying either join up or don't.
Yeah, they were half-heartedly trying to do it, to try to take over the Matic Journal. And we knew about the printer, of course, we knew about the printer, Reverend Schmidt, and there was the sort of feeling that, well, if they didn't get ours, they'd go after printer, Reverend Schmidt, and that's what they eventually did do. They did take over that journal, and it became the two-year college journal, and now it's the college journal, College Mathematics Journal. So it's the expression of they were looking down their noses at us and saying, oh, you poor little people, let us take care of you.
Did NCTM come to these meetings? Any representatives?
Not directly. By that I mean we had people like Chris Bolt and Jim Rebello, who's from Pennsylvania, Bucks County in Pennsylvania. They were involved with coming to the meetings. Jim Rebello has continued his association with NCTM, and he's probably more associated with them than with AMATIC. But he's an interesting character.
Well, so at the Chicago meeting, when the Constitution and membership came up, was there discussion about inclusion or exclusion of people other than two-year college people?
I wasn't at the Chicago meeting, but I understand there was. There was a great deal of discussion about a number of issues there.
If we can go forward again then, I think to the end of your vice presidency, did you become president right away then? Or did you have another office?
No, I didn't. I went from the VP to the presidency. And we had decided that the presidency should be a longer term of office. A number of things occurred prior to this.
Okay.
One of which, in the perceptions of some eyes, there were certain people in the presidency at certain times that made it weak. It didn't give the direction that was necessary. And there were people who were coming up to be president who also were perceived to be weak and needed a lot of assistance. And the executive board appointed an executive director for the organization. And Phil Seifetz was appointed the executive director for the organization.
What year are we in?
Probably 79. And he held that position for about a year and a half. And his responsibility was to help the president and to maintain the everyday operation of the organization. And it was needed. He, at that time, also attended. It was also towards the end, it was at the end of his presidency and going on after that.
At the end of Phil's presidency?
Yeah, so he ended his presidency and then he had this executive
director. I don't understand. Why didn't the board or the nominating committee nominate stronger candidates?
Sometimes we get into a cycle of things that we really can't explain. And we have to go through that cycle and reward those people who have contributed. So, Phil was placed in as executive director. And he...
By the board.
By the board, by the total executive board. And at times, in fact, he ran meetings, executive board meetings. And that was brought into question, and that created a lot of hard feelings later on against Phil by various people and also against Nassau. It was felt Nassau was taking too heavy of a hand. And in fact, it may have been. But Phil got involved with CBMS, Conference Board of Mathematical Sciences. And he started making contacts with MAA and through that.
Those kinds of contacts had not been made